Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm here with Jared Tarr, one of the executive producers of the Blues Recess events. These are a series of events around the world where blues dancers gather. Blues dancing is not only a style of dance, but a movement. And we're going to find out what that's all about this evening, as well as listen to some of the music that inspires this movement. There are a growing number of people involved in this movement here in Paonia. And Jared is here for a local blues dancing event. Welcome to Talkin' Music.
Thank you.
First, can you tell me how you were introduced to blues dancing and how you fell in love with it?
Yeah, absolutely. My introduction to blues dancing is a pretty interesting thing. I was a blues musician for years and years growing up. It was just one of the things that I did with all my free time. And so I made friends with somebody in the town that I live in, Olympia, Washington. And one day he came to me and was like, "Hey, you play slide guitar, right? Do you want to be part of this band for this event where people dance to blues music?" I said, "Yes, absolutely." So we had a number of practices and then went to a couple of house parties in Seattle where blues dancing was happening. And that was kind of the first moment where I was like, whoa.
What do you love about it?
It's a really connected way to have body awareness. And it's an amazing movement practice where you get to share connection with people, you get to share vulnerability, and you kind of get to co-create a piece of art that is reactive to the music that you're listening to.
So you started to talk about it a little bit here, but there is a whole vocabulary that you're communicating through movement. Can you talk about what that is? There's connection, posture, frame, and musicality.
Right, yeah. So blues dancing and fusion dancing are partnered dances. So there are two people in the dance at one time. And they communicate with each other through the places that their bodies are making actual physical connection, as well as the amount of tone that they have in their bodies. And so that's like tone can be kind of equated to tension. There are ways that if you're leading the dance, you can initiate a movement through giving a little bit more tone to your partner. And that's a big way that you kind of communicate what your intention is with your movement. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole vocabulary of movements that are, you know, like turns, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so as a follow in dancing, often what your job is to do is to follow the initiated movement. And kind of like be really receptive to what the person that you're dancing with is intending for the dance, at the same time as really having an idea of what your movement wants to be and how you want to express yourself in that dance.
Can you tell me about the history of this dance and the movement too that sort of has come up recently?
There are kind of a couple places that this comes from. There's some anecdotal historical evidence of there being blues dancing happening in the like teens, 20s, 30s, and into the 40s in kind of like speakeasies and that sort of those places in urban centers, as well as like barn dances in rural areas where blues music was what was being played, largely to an audience of like, you know, African-American people, people who were kind of outcasts in society, you know, the queers, a lot of other folks, the people who would be, you know, drinking, mm-hmm. Particularly during the like Prohibition era. So there's some anecdotal evidence of that. But then in the 1990s, there was a large revival of swing dancing, and Lindy Hop was a big part of that. And late nights at Lindy Hop, people would be so exhausted from dancing so manically all day that people would put on much more down-tempo music. And they would use a lot of the same movements, but adapted to much slower music. At about the same time, there are house parties happening in parts of the Northwest, in Denver, Chicago, other like major urban areas in the country, where people were doing a more improvisational dance than a lot of swing, and two very different music, done to like a lot of like 1990s like glitch hop and kind of down tempo electronic music and alternative music, things that are like adjacent to blues. And so that from that stemmed the Fusion Exchange, which was one of the first events along with Blues Recesses, which actually started here on the West Slope of the Rockies in Colorado. And those events really solidified fusion and alt blues, which was a term that came from Blues Recess itself, as an art form in the U.S. And from there, it just kind of blew up. And now it's in most major cities in the country.
And so I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was an event here. There was a recess here. And it was over at Elsewhere Studios, and I remembered walking in, and there were, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 people. And it's not a huge space. It was like 30 or 40 people jammed into, you know, a living room and just beautiful dancing. I mean, you kind of have to see it to kind of have to be there to describe the scene is hard for me. But what are these recesses like, and how many people are showing up now? And, you know, what is it beyond the actual dancing? Can you talk a little bit more about the philosophy and the mission that's included in this movement?
Yeah. So Blues Recesses started as very impromptu events. They're kind of just like groups of dancers coming together to like dance in beautiful places up in the mountains. In the past 4 years or so, they've gotten much larger. I actually remember that evening at Elsewhere Studios. Yeah. And it was wonderful. And you know, that kind of like close proximity container for this kind of dancing is a big thing. And so Recess, as it stands now, we have 8 events all across the country and in Europe. The largest of them get up to like 400, 500 people. And many of them are off-grid events. So we're, you know, we're bringing in generators. We're using propane to cook folks' food. And so in a lot of ways, they kind of they walk this line between dance events in like what you would call like normal dance events, which are often in cities and people stay in hotels or couch surf or whatever, and just dance at night and maybe go to workshops, and events like Rainbow Gatherings or Burning Man, where there's much more of a focus on people plugging in, being a part of the events, it being a like co-creative space rather than a consumptive space, and there being this kind of like separation from the default world, where, you know, there's kind of a greater capacity for self-expression, a like greater capacity to like challenge yourself. And so that's a big reason why we have them off grid. And so along with that, you know, we really try to foster a culture of inclusivity. A lot of the time that's difficult, you know, you can't cover all of your bases, but we certainly try to instill an ethic and kind of a norm in our events of shedding a lot of the problematic socialization that we get in the rest of the world, and destigmatizing a lot of the things that that folks run into on their daily basis. There's certainly a push to break down the gender binary that has been really inherent in partner dancing, where like men lead, women follow, period. The idea that anyone can dance with anyone and anyone can occupy whatever role that they want to. And those roles can switch, they can be fluid. And so really wanting to like create a norm at our events where like two men can share vulnerability and intimacy in a dance, and that doesn't mean anything about their sexuality, actually. And the same goes for women, the same goes for non-gender binary people. And switch is a term that we use for when you are, basically when you are switching around those roles that you're playing in the dance itself. And so that comes along with it as well, where you might start out a dance leading, and at some point you'll get communication from your partner or it'll be pre-negotiated that then you start following. Mm-hmm. And so being able to occupy those multiple spaces, I think is a really opening experience for a lot of folks who feel like they have to occupy one role, and that's the only like safe or comfortable place for them.
Mm-hmm. And what about people who just can't dance? Is there a place for them?
I mean, sure. You know, there's like everybody has their movement practice. Everybody has their form of self-expression. These events certainly are about dancing. So, you know, that might be a piece of like inclusivity that we haven't quite hit. but also a thing that has been really inspiring and cool to see over the past couple of years is that solo dancing has become a much larger part of the way that people self-express at these events and kind of at dance events all over the country. I've seen it, you know, at non-recess things as well, where people feel people are starting to feel much more comfortable just going out onto the dance floor and like rocking it by themselves. And that's totally fine. And, you know, if then you want to kind of have that co-creation space with someone else, then, you know, you can ask. And mm-hmm. if you don't want that, you can say no.
So what do you do when you're not, you know, running around the world doing these events? Do you have like a sort of a home base? And
Yeah. I live in Olympia, Washington, as does Eli Fair, who's another one of the producers for Recess. And so that's where I'm nested and settled. And so I travel out of there. I have, you know, I have a real world job. I work at REI.
Cool.
who are thankfully good. Flexible enough to let me traipse off to Colorado.
Good. It seems like some people, at least around here, are completely obsessed with blues dancing. Just judging by their Facebook posts or whatever. like they're like really living for it. Like it's a really important thing to them. Have you seen people just get a little bit too obsessed, like to the point where you're concerned?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody's on their own journey, you know? And I think that this kind of partner dancing and fusion events and like and particularly the kind of wayfaring nature of Recess can be a really opening experience for folks, and it can be a way that they kind of shed the assumptions that they've had about how their life must be. And so I've definitely seen people who are like, cool, this is the thing that I'm doing. And I was one of those people. Absolutely. Like, you know, Blues Recess was a big part of how I like broke out of workaholism. And so I wouldn't say that I'm worried about those folks. I think that like I worry about those folks when I see that they are like depending on the institution that is very unstable, that is Blues Recess. Not unstable in a necessarily negative sense, but it's, you know, it's not the basket to put all your eggs in, rather. But yeah, I think that it can be a really valuable part of development for folks. And I think just like anything, it's a matter of finding the like really healthy role that it can play in your life. And that can be as big or small as, you know, you want to make it. But just making sure that you have balance, just, yeah, really just like anything.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that it's added to your life, just being involved? Like what has sort of the lessons you've gotten from it?
Oh my gosh. I've had existential crises through dancing. like learn things about my relationship with my mom. But you know, I think that across the board, this kind of partner dancing is a really amazing exercise in vulnerability and intimacy and ways to find that in a really safe space. And ways to like negotiate with others to make sure that stays a safe space. I think that that's a really, really big thing about this kind of partner dancing. And then I also think that having a movement practice, no matter what it is, whether you're, you know, like really methodically gardening or doing aerial or circus arts or doing partner dancing or other kinds of dance, that's a really important thing in being in a human body, and being in a human brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that those are some of the like biggest things that I've taken from partner dancing and blues dancing.
Let's talk about the music a little bit now.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite songs to dance to and why? Let's just start with one and we'll go through.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, I came into blues dancing from being a blues musician. And so I think that a lot of the traditional blues that is danced to in a lot of parts of the country are a big draw for me. And so one of my favorite artists is Nina Simone. She's amazing. From jazz to blues, she kind of did everything spectacularly. And so Feeling Good is a song that is heard in a lot of blues scenes. It's played at most dances over whatever weekend you're there. And it really captures the kind of the like dramatic elements and the dynamics that people really look for in dance songs.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how. It's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Nina Simone, Feeling Good. You're tuned in to Talkin' Music, and I'm Allie Lightfoot. Last week, the Blues Dancers came to Paonia for their annual visit. This is a group of 40 to 50 dancers who spend 3 or 4 days in town holding alt blues, blues, and fusion dancing events. I spoke with Jared Tarr, one of the organizers of the event, and here we explore the music of this new dance phenomenon. There's all kinds of sort of electronica and more contemporary stuff that's included as well, right?
Yeah.
What's some of that?
Yeah, so you know, there's this big umbrella that is electronic dance music, and it includes all sorts of things. But one of the big hallmarks for music that is danced to in this setting is beats per minute. So it's like between 90 and 120 is kind of what you're looking at. And so there are several different genres. There's like glitch step and glitch hop, and chill step is actually a kind of electronic music that is being like listened to and danced to a lot by dancers. And there are a lot of really cool things that are happening with that. There's a lot of like remixing of really old music and old tracks. And so like one of my favorite songs that kind of embodies that is called Pablo's Blues. It's by an artist called Gary Dunord. And it's an old Delta song that I think is probably from a like wax cylinder recording. And over that has been, you know, remixed an electronic beat, that kind of brings out the syncopation and the polyrhythms that are in that music inherently, but that are kind of hard to pull out of it, if you don't have a pretty tuned ear just from, you know, from steel string guitar. And I think that that's one of the big things about electronic dance music that is attractive to dancers, is that for folks who don't have a particularly musical ear, electronic dance music is very obvious about where its rhythm is, and rhythm being kind of the basis for this connection that you have with your partner.
You're tuned into Talkin' Music as we explore blues dancing with Jared Tarr, one of the organizers of the Aspen Blues Recess. Let's just talk about one more song we're going to play today that would be good for blues dancing.
Yeah. There's this great artist. Recess just went to Burning Man, which is a really funny experience, but really good. A lot of great dancing, and The Human Experience was one of the groups that we saw, one of the DJs that was around. And there's a song that he has called Swoon. It's a remix of a Rising Appalachia song. This song and this actually whole album that he put out that is remixes of Rising Appalachia's music, I feel like is a really great exemplification of in music what fusion can look like, because Rising Appalachia is kind of a neo folk band that, you know, is like all acoustic instruments and really beautiful vocals, under and over that. The Human Experience has laid electronic tracks that are really complementary to what that music is doing, and I think that is that's a big part of the fusion part of this partner dancing, is that people from all sorts of different partnered dance disciplines and non-partnered dance disciplines can come together and have whatever their experience is in those dances inform what they're doing with their partner. So it doesn't matter if you have a tango dancer dancing with a traditional blues dancer, their movements and their experiences in their respective dance, their respective dances can inform the kind of movement that they're able to make together. And so that marriage of electronic music with neo folk music, I think is a really, really good way to have that reflected in the music that's being danced to as well.
I've been talking with Jared Tarr, who's one of the executive producers of the Blues Recess events. Where can people find out how to, you know, if not participate, come see you guys dance?
Well, we have a website. It's bluesrecess.com. And so there's a lot of information about our events there. Also, you can find us on Facebook as the Alt Blues Recess Contingent. And there we have, you know, we post whenever we have an event coming up. And there you can find the event page for Aspen Recess 2015. And that's where we have all of the information about this year's event posted as well.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jared.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to The Human Experience with his remix of Rising Appalachia's Swoon. Thanks for tuning in to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered, coming up next.